Good morning, everyone. Thanks for everyone coming this morning, giving the opportunity to share some words of Yanni Yoimer. Hopefully, it will be chizuk for myself, for everyone, for the Shus of the Olam. Those who are here, the Shus of the Olam. Some holiday, listen on, I think what they call electronic means. I'd like to share with you the following words. This time period, Pesach has gone out, and now there's some kind of gap until Shavuot. That gap is bridged by what we count the Omer every night. The Rav was on speaking, and he asked his audience, what's the most valuable commodity in the world? So someone there said, by sterling, by gold. He wasn't actually looking for a financial tip. He was looking in terms of chesed, what's the most precious commodity beyond money? So happiness, children, I'm sure these things went around. And he concluded, no, all those answers are nice. Time is the most valuable commodity. There's no price that one can give to 5 minutes of extra time. One is given, some people work 25-hour days, 24-hour days. But what we'll do for a bit of extra time when we're so busy, and in life, there's no price that one can attach to years of one's life. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he used to say in a similar vein, he'd say there's one sefer, one musa sefer, which has perhaps the greatest effect, but it's not found amongst the classics. You find the Michtav Eliyahu, the Sichos Musa, etc., etc. They all stand on the wall, on the shelf. There's one Musa sefer. It's not actually found on the shelf, but it's rather found on the wall, and that is the clock. I know it's a place that good positioning here. I've heard that 9 o'clock, but that's the idea, and this is perhaps the first yesod of Sefirat HaOmer. Every night we count day one, day two. It's a message that we believe in our mortality, and each day has to be constructed some way or other, and some way of some Torah purpose, some Torah way of making each day constructive. So this idea, let's ask the famous question that's asked on Sefirat HaOmer. Why is it we count upwards, day one, day two, day three? Surely it would make sense if the whole purpose is to look forward to Kabbalah HaTorah. So it makes sense, count 49, 48, 47. It's a famous question. Von Kotler would cite some words of the Sefer HaChinuch. So you're so just the Sefer HaChinuch on this. Just read a few lines on this, which will help us in answering this question. Mishosh, this is in Shin Vav in the Sefer HaChinuch, the Shoyash of the Mitzvah. Mishosh, a Mitzvah. The whole Ikar of Yisrael is only Torah. And because of Torah, the heavens, earth, and Yisrael, Jewish people, were created only because of Torah, and only that Yisrael would receive the Torah. These may be controversial statements elsewhere. Baruch Hashem, here we understand the whole purpose of Yisrael is for the Torah. The life of quite amusing, Rav Shach, Yeshiva Bacha once came to him. Rav Shach said to the Yeshiva Bacha, do you know how to eat? Yeshiva Bacha, Rav Shach's asking you how to eat. Of course, the food, the man, the teeth, the chew, and how to eat. Said Rav Shach, that's not what I meant. We have a Mishnah, which everyone knows, in Kemachim Torah. Everyone knows that, right? The other half of the Mishnah, Ein Torah, Ein Kemach. If there's no Ein Torah, then what's the Kemach for? It didn't occur to Rav Shach, you'd eat if your purpose wasn't for Torah, Torah didn't fit into your life, what would be the point of eating exactly? That shows the whole Ik, this is the Sefer Chinuch line, Shekol Ikran Shel Yisrael Eina Ela HaTorah. Let's skip a bit. He says the main purpose of the Yetziat Mitzrayim wasn't just for freedom in its own sake that we to leave Egypt, but rather the purpose of the leaving Egypt was that they would receive the Torah. And in fact, it thus became the Kabbalah HaTorah was the Ikar, and the Yetzias Mitzrayim was just a way to come towards the Ikar. And the second paragraph, he says, Mitznei Chayim, Ki hi cholikon shel Yisrael, because all the Ikar of Yisrael is Torah, v'avor nigu v'alu l'chol, ha'gedula shel aleh, and all the greatness came to them because of the Torah. Nitz davinu limnois memachros yoyim tov shel Pesach, av yoyim nesinat ha'Torah. Therefore, we've been commanded to count from the second day of Pesach until the day of the beginning of the Torah. Laharis, the nafshenu hachefet hagadol elyon hanichbat hanichsaf ledidenu. The purpose of this counting is to show how much our soul desires. Oh, the great day of Kabbalah HaTorah! It's coming. We show our desire. We're so enthusiastic and so excited to come to this day. You know the feeling, right? That's what we're trying to get to, and that's the purpose of our counting. Now we understand the counting for two reasons so far. Number one, we've said time. Number two, to show our desire to receive the Torah. That's how enthusiastic we are. We left, we had the Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that was, by the way. And obviously there are major lessons that we learned there. Hashkacha Pratis, Hashkacha Emuna, that's some of the stories of Pesach. It comes immediately the second day of Pesach. That begins the countdown for Kabbalah HaTorah. And he actually later on goes on to say that the reason why don't we start counting on the first day, because the first day is because of Emunah, etc. So the second day is really the Hatzchala of the Nesinat HaTorah process. So Ravan Kotler, again we're trying to keep track of the question, why are we counting upwards and not downwards? So Ravan Kotler has an idea in Parshas Vayetzeh. Yaakov Avinu, tricked him by his Laban, his father-in-law, father-in-law-to-be at the time, into working 7 years for Rachel. The Torah says, in his eyes, they were just like a few days, kiyamim achadim, just like a few days to him because of his love for her. This is a very interesting thing. You ask any chosan, how long for the wedding? Sometimes you can see by their answer, six weeks and 2 days. And it's a long slept out process that they're counting for. On the contrary, the question here of Aaron Cutler asked is, surely the more you look forward to something, on the contrary, the more you think about it, the longer it should take. So how could it have been like just 7 years, just a few days? So the idea is, Yaakov Avinu, what was he doing for these 7 years? He wasn't writing out invitations, table plans. Yaakov Avinu knew Ruach HaKodesh, the Navi, knew he was going to be the father of the Shivtei Kot. He knew that this was the beginning of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, that's why, right? Started off 14 years of Yeshiva Shem Ve'eva. He didn't leave the yeshiva and, that was it. We think in the Torah, he was a shepherd, right? No, perhaps he was being a shepherd. He was involved himself in more Torah, and in more, and on the contrary, he knew he had to still work on himself, even after all those years, and achieve level Madregas in Kedusha, Madregas in Tahara, for the purpose of being the father of Klal Yisrael. So these are days for him for spiritual preparation. So too, in Asherah HaOmer, we're counting 50 days. If we were to count downwards, this is the basis of the idea of the Sefer Chinuch, this would show us that, if we started off right 49 days to go, just by the way of saying 49 days to go, that's showing us that these days are somewhat futile. These days are just a gap that has to be reached. We have to overcome the 49 days just to get there. On the contrary, when we begin counting day one, day two, day three, that shows that intrinsically, in those particular days, they have great purpose. They have great meaning and are supposed to take us there. It's supposed to be a path, a path of growth that began on Pesach, 2 weeks into it, right? Saying these words, I fit it myself, obviously, and anyone else. But we're supposed to be thinking about how we can best be prepared for Kabbalah HaTorah. Each year, it's not Kabbalah HaTorah was then, and now we're commemorating it. No, each year we have a new Kabbalah HaTorah. Our our affiliation, our desire for Torah is tested on Shavuot. It's a Rosh Hashanah. That's the idea of that if one has purpose in those days, then the days will come quickly, and each day is a building process. There's also a scene I saw once, what's the difference, why on Pesach we offer a Minchas Sa'oirim, some barley food. Come Shavuot, we're ready for the Minchas Chadosha, the Shtei Lechem, which is a wheat product. We go from barley to wheat. I saw someone once said that barley, by agricultural circles, is known as an animal fodder. Traditionally, you know, it was used for fodder, you know, these are animals. Wheat, though, obviously the staple food of all mankind, is wheat, and therefore that's the ikar of a man. The bread is the basic food. So therefore, this is seen in the difference. We came out of Egypt. Pesach was the beginning of it all, but we had very few mitzvahs. Several mitzvahs and tasteless. But the idea was that these 49 days later, we were now ready for Kabbalah Satorah. With somewhat beginning was more sort of a Jew without the Torah, the barley offering. But the Jew now, 49 days later, he ready for the Torah. Mincha Chadasha time, a week. This is what an Adam is, a man with Torah. And we also just see this in, we began Pirkei Avos on Shabbos, the Ikka reading of Pirkei Avos was originally instituted for the weeks between Pesach and Shavuot. Obviously, showing that the Torah, Yer Shemayim, all the midos that are in there, is all part of Kabbalah Satorah. It's not just about the actual Torah knowledge itself, but rather we say Torah without midos, Torah without Yer Shemayim. That's who knows what it is. So therefore, this is our thing. These 49 days are building every day, if we speak in Pirkei Avos, the 48 ways of one's koine, the 48 ways of kinyonim that one has one acquire Torah. This is just proving the point that each day has an avoida, has something which we try and aspire to, which we try and reach. That's the first point. This idea from Chaim Halpern, some of his words may appear over there. And he cited the Gemara in the Dorim, which says, Ein Gehenem Boilam Haba. Right? Ein Gehenem Boilam Haba. I don't know what the meaning of that is, and there is such a concept. But nevertheless, the Gemara goes on to say that rather in the future, Hashem will take out the sun from its Maltika, from its protective sheath, and it will shine very strongly. The same sun will have different effects on different people. For the righteous, they'll be healed from it, and the non-righteous will be unable to take it. The idea is said several times that this light is referring to a spiritual light. A light, yes, in the future there's going to be a spiritual light. And if one tries in this world to reach these madrigas, I'm trying to learn, and it was difficult, as it is, it's the Milchamas HaYetzer, the Milchamas HaTorah, and on all the different levels. But nevertheless, in the future, the Yetzer will be vanquished, the light will heal the tzaddikim, they'll now be able to continue unhindered to reach where they could, whilst those who are unable to cope with the light in this world, who didn't have the desire as such, for them, they'll just sort of melt away from this light. The story was told of the Ponovitch Rav. Someone said the story, but when he was building Ponovitch, and there's some Russian workers that he hired for the task. And one day they turned up for work, and in true style, there was no delivery of bricks that morning. Said these workers, they used to be yeshiva bottom, you know. We know our halachas, you know, we learn to bottom seer, and it says there that if for the work the workers turn up for work, no material, or they're hired, you have to pay us. So, you know, we tried, we did our bit, so maybe you'd still like to pay us anyway. But Ponovitch Rav, yes, absolutely. You're most definitely right. However, that halacha is only true if there's no other work I can give you, but I've got some other tasks which need doing around here. You know, we've got a nice place of medrash inside, and maybe I'd like to pair up in chavrusas and sit down and have a bit of Gemara for a couple of hours, and that could be your work instead. So they said, yeah, okay, you know, we used to do this, you know, back in Russia. So they sat down, learning a bit of Gemara. After 10 minutes, one of them, had to get up, he needed a coffee. So 20 minutes, another one's up, didn't know if he returned or not. A half an hour, another one, he's going for his break, you know, and so on, until eventually they turn to the Ponovitch Rav and say, you know what, we just can't take it. You know, keep the money, we have to go and go elsewhere. The Ponovitch Rav would cite this, and he'd cite this Gemara of Nedarim to say that once Cheshek is in this world, this with the difficulties, but if one has a Cheshek for it, then in the future, the obstacles which made it difficult will be removed somewhat from him. However, if one just didn't have desire for it, then, who knows, in the future. But the idea is, I was thinking to myself, you know, what's the litmus test? How can one sort of just see, you know, what's one's drive for? I don't know whether this is totally, but nevertheless, I think if one is honest with oneself, just one's on the way. I do this myself to myself sometimes. I'm sort of on the way, walking down the stairs, I'm going to go to the toilet. And I think, what's the feeling I have today about going into that? Right? When we have, and you know, if one is honest with oneself, one sees that one has a cheshek for it. Then okay, whatever happens in the day, but your drive is there. If one is sort of, you know, you open the Gemara. And to get the cheshek, that's the message of Shavuot. And that's what we're trying to build within for these days. Finish off with one idea, just like I heard from Rosh Hashiva of the Yom in Moskowitz, and it's also an idea. She quoted the name of Rav Aaron Kotler, the famous just not so distant past. We came off the Parshas Truma Tetzaveh, this of Vayachal Tukudei. We have all the description of the. Of the makings of the Mishkan and its implements. And we find there, we notice in Truma, it says, make me an Aron, a Menorah, a Shulchan. And then eventually, at the end of that parsha, Truma, you get to the actual Mishkan, the board and the Oihel, etc. And on the contrary, in Parshas Vayakhel, you have a reversing. First, it talks about we call the bias, the actual, edifice of the Mishkan, and finally you have the implements. There's this reversing. So you know there's a Gemara which describes the conversation between Moshe and Bezalel. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Look, Bezalel, you're going to make an Aroin, make a Shulchan, make a Menorah." Bezalel says, "Well, hold on, I'm going to make these things. Where am I going to put them? I mean, you know, you don't buy the furniture and then think about the house. You first buy a house and then have your furniture to come in. Why here? It seems in the wrong way," said Bezalel. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, "Ah, indeed you're right." And Bezalel, Kel, you're in the shadow of God, you have the Ruach HaKodesh. Indeed, that's how I heard it. Of course, they're meant to be the first build the bayis and then build the Aron and the other implements. What's this reversing? Why do we find this great reversal from Teruma, the implements bias, to Vayakel bias implements? That was the question of Aaron Kotler. And he said that actually the way it was told to Moshe, first Aaron, then implements, that order indicates the order of priority. So what was the whole focus of the Mishkan? The focus of the Mishkan was the Aaron. The focus of the Aaron was the Luchos. The whole Mishkan was about the Luchos. It was the Luchos who would bring the Shechina down to Yisrael. And this is the idea that Torah has to be Shechina based. How does the Torah that is Shechina based and Torah which can be non-Shechina based? With Torah, with 49 days of how everyone works on it, Midrash based, that's MS based. Growing that, yes, that one's internal character and one's middle of MS is intrinsically linked to the Torah and to the Shechina that will come with it. We also see this the connection Torah and the Shechina, because the Sanhedrin, where would they sit? They had a little chamber in the Beis HaMikdash right next to the right next to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's where they would sit. Why? Because that was where Shekhinah was coming. They needed the levels of Ruach HaKodesh and Lacha from Shemaim for their decision. They would sit there. This was where the Shekhinah was going to come. So far, it sounds like the whole Ikka, the purpose of the Mishkan was for Torah, to bring the Shekhinah down. Now, however, we're very accustomed to know there's another aspect entirely of the Beis HaMikdash, namely Tefillah, the avoid of the Beis HaMikdash, and most of the parashas that we're in now, the Yikra, Tzav, Shemini, who we just left, have the Ikka there, avoider, and avoider nowadays, Tefillah is what we do nowadays. And we understand the effects of Tefillah in Eretz Yisrael. Anyone who's in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish or non-Jewish, will want to visit the Western Wall, and that's the place to pray. We know every Tefillah, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesaken, another discussion, but that a Tefillah, wherever it's uttered in the world, travels along a route to the site of the Makom HaMikdash, and it's from there, that's the point of Shemayim and Aretz, that's the point where the Tefillah goes up. So now from here, what do we see then? That the whole, it sounds like the Ikkar of the Beit HaMikdash was Tefillah, for Avodah. So which is it? Is it Torah? Is it Tefillah? And then we see that with Tefillah, you know, the idea is to have the less interference in the way. Therefore, the closer one is to the Makom HaMikdash, you know, the Chashivas of, you know, 40 days at the Kotel is a popular thing nowadays. So which is it? Is it Torah? Is it Tefillah? Ron Cutler says, of course, it's both. Nevertheless, the Torah is the catalyst is what brings down the Shekhinah into the Makom HaMikdash. That's what brings it down to Yerushalayim. It's the Torah that comes to Yerushalayim. Once the Shekhinah is brought down to Yerushalayim, now you brought the Shekhinah down. Now is this Yerushalayim, because of the presence of the Shekhinah, it's now become the most appropriate place to daven as well. This is what we find. Famous halacha that's where's the best place to daven, where one learns. But it's because you've used the arm twister, you brought the Shekhinah down with the Torah, that's how the Shekhinah came. Oh, now this is the place to daven. So we see the idea of a makom Torah. The Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar HaGadol used to give shir, he would sit on a stone, he'd say a shir, and Rabbi Yeshua would kiss that stone that he sat on, because that stone, having been a place for Torah, was now a place of Kedusha, a place of Shekhinah now. So this is, we also find, you know, a Beis HaMikdash has a Kedusha, but that Kedusha came because of the Torah. Now, it's the place for daven. That's the idea, that the bringing the Torah is Shekhinah based. But Shekhinah comes with these 49 days of preparation, with these 49 days of somewhat working in everyone, whichever level that they choose, but of moving forward day by day. 49 days is not merely a hefsek just to get us there. No, 49 constructive days that should get us there. Mirat Hashem, we should be ready for Kabbalah HaTorah this year. And, Shia, Kenu.